Well, we get things underway like we do most Thursdays this time of year by welcoming into the program Brian McLaughlin of Hero Sports to talk a little FCS football. Hey, Brian.
Hey, Rick. Happy to be on again, and got a fun weekend ahead, so looking forward to talking about it.
Yes, indeed. Down here to the final weekend of the regular season for FCS teams. So, well, let's start with the basics. How many teams have clinched those automatic qualifiers?
Well, you know, we get 10 of them. There are 10 of the 13 conferences do participate in the playoff. As you know, the Ivy League and the two HBCU conferences do not, at least on without getting into technicalities with the HBCU. That leaves 10 conferences in the FCS that send their automatic bid winner to the playoff. And right now we're sitting at 6. That are already in. And then if you look at basically precedent going back to when the playoff field expanded to 24 teams back in 2013, generally 8 wins will guarantee a CAA, Big Sky, Missouri Valley team to get in. In fact, there's really been, I think, only one exception to that in all the years that they've had 24 teams. So there's 7 other teams that have hit that mark. In those, what I like to call the Power 3 conferences. And that, you know, obviously that leaves 11 other spots. We have 4 more automatic berths to determine, and then a bunch more at-large teams. So that's kind of it in a nutshell, I guess.
All right, so we've got a few that are in already, a few teams that have crossed that 8-win threshold that are likely in no matter what happens to them this weekend. Now, how does the 12-game schedule affect teams this year? Does that change the numbers a little bit?
It's tricky to try to compare to the 11-game because every 11-game season, because everybody has a different philosophy with what to do with that opportunity to play 12. I mean, some programs need to make money, so they go out and they schedule another FBS game. You know, Maine did that this year. You know, some teams schedule a cream puff. They have a guaranteed win at home. Some programs, like Wofford, don't even schedule an 12th game. They just refuse that option for whatever reason. So it's kind of a apples and oranges comparison type thing on how it affects the situation. But it, to me, it's an opportunity if I was at AED. It's an opportunity to go out and schedule another FCS opponent to try to improve your argument to be in the playoffs. I would not schedule a lower division opponent. And, you know, the money thing with the scheduling a P5 school, that's a completely different situation. Sometimes you've got to do that. And those losses, of course, get thrown out by the committee anyway, so they don't really hurt you. But I've seen a lot of FCS schools schedule an extra non-conference FCS game. And that's how they handle it and push themselves to 8 or 9 wins.
Well, you mentioned that the committee will throw out those FBS losses. Do they also throw out wins over at D2 or lower non-FCS opponents?
They do, and that's going to play a big factor in a team like Kennesaw State argument, because Kennesaw had Duquesne and Furman pull out on them, which, you know, that's kind of a travesty for Kennesaw because their schedule's already so weak. And so when that happened, they had to fill it with D2 NAIA type, which of course they thumped. But that's going to basically leave them, if they win this weekend, which they should, that will leave them with an 8-1 record that will be used by the committee. And they'll be 10-2, but they lost to Kent State, which is an FBS, and they've won 2 D2 games. So they'll be considered an 8-1 team, and they're the Big South is so weak, and the other teams they scheduled in the FCS were so weak that, I mean, there's a chance that because they played those D2 and NAIA games, they may get left out of the playoffs 8-1 because they didn't schedule another couple FCS. So yeah, not, you know, playing and winning those lower division games really don't help you. Yeah, other than maybe gate revenue, I guess.
Yeah.
So it comes into play with a lot of the arguments.
We're talking with Brian McLaughlin of Hero Sports here on Downtown. Well, let's look at some of the games that will make a difference in the playoff field this weekend. And we start tonight with what appears to be an elimination game with Nichols and Southeast Louisiana.
It absolutely is. It's interesting because the winner of that game will get the automatic berth. They don't even have to worry about what Central Arkansas does on Friday night, because both Nichols and Southeastern Louisiana have beaten UCF. So, but the problem is the loser of Nichols and Southeastern Louisiana is not going to hit the 9-win threshold to get what would be an at-large berth because they will have lost tonight. So there's a very good chance the loser of tonight's game is done for the season. They're gonna watch on Sunday for Selection Sunday and hope maybe they get in on the bubble. But I don't see it as being very likely. I don't think that's probably going to be the way it's done. And then on top of that, Central Arkansas will hit the 9-win threshold Friday night, and that will probably get them in as an at-large. Plus, they beat an FBS team, Western Kentucky. They've got one of the three FBS wins at our level this year. So that's kind of the dynamic in the Southland. The winner of tonight's game gets the automatic berth, and Central Arkansas, as long as they win tomorrow night, probably gets an at-large, and that gives the Southland two teams.
Now, they'll likely win that game, but if they were to lose tomorrow night, is Central Arkansas on the outside looking in?
I think so. I mean, it depends on how you want to look at an 8-win team in the Southland. The whole league has really kind of struggled this year and been very Jekyll and Hyde-ish. So that's the question, is how, if you're comparing an 8-win team in the CAA with an 8-win team in the Southland, I think we all know who's going to win that argument. I mean, the CAA is a tougher conference. So, you know, UCA will have to be compared to Towson, you know, as long as Towson wins this weekend, which they should against Elon. You know, same thing. If Albany goes to Stony Brook and gets the 8 wins, not exactly an easy game, but if they get the 8 wins, Albany should beat out Central Arkansas if they're both at 8 wins, I think.
Let's look at another game coming up on Saturday. Wofford already in. They're taking on the Citadel. If Wofford wins, do they have a shot at being one of the seeds?
Yeah, I think so. I do. I really think that I think there's two games that will have an influence on that. Montana State. If the Grizz can beat Montana State and open up that potential for another team to get in, I think the team would be Wofford as long as Wofford survives that trip to Charleston. So there's a lot of moving parts. There's a lot, you know, Wofford fans really need to be Montana fans. really, I'd say Montana State fans need to be Citadel fans this week. And who would have ever thunk that?
Well, let's talk about the brawl of the wild, Montana and Montana State. It means a seed, certainly. If Montana wins that game, do you see a scenario where they could pass JMU and end up as the number 2 overall seed?
I don't see it, as long as, of course, James Madison goes up to Rhode Island and does what we think they're going to do, which is run away with it. The reasoning would be, you know, JMU would be 11-0 against the FCS, and they play in the CAA. Montana would be 10-1 against the FCS, should they win the brawl, and they do have an FCS loss. So I just don't see anybody jumping there. Now, when Weber State looked like they might win out and be 10-0 against the FCS with two droppable FBS losses, which were actually very good games, I thought there might be an argument for Weber State to jump JMU, but the minute that they lost last week or the week before, that was thrown out the window.
Well, let's talk about the CAA, because that continues to be a confusing mess. JMU's in. They've got the automatic qualifier. Villanova likely in with 8 wins already and probably headed for 9 this weekend. That leaves Towson, Albany, and Maine trying to get into that field. Towson, with a win, would get their 8th victory. And if they beat Elon, they're in, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, no question. Towson beats Elon at home, they're in. If Albany beats Stony Brook on the road, they're in. And then Maine, if they beat New Hampshire on the road, I think they are one of the best-looking bubble teams. And I really think, by the way, there probably will be 2, maybe even 3 7-win teams to get in. And when it gets to that point, Maine looks as good as anybody. Tougher conference, two FBS losses are dropped to be considered at 7-3, and they come in with a five-game win streak. They're hot, you know, if they beat New Hampshire this weekend. So I think there's a very good possibility all three of them get in if CAA ends up a five-bid conference. But I think Albany and Maine obviously have very challenging games on the road to get to that point. So it's a big weekend for those two programs.
Now, let's say Towson wins, Maine wins, and Albany loses. Albany would only have seven victories, but they would have a better conference record than Maine and Towson, and they have a win head-to-head with Towson. Could they somehow still get in as the fifth team from the CAA with just seven victories?
I mean, the argument could be made, yeah. And I think, we may end up having seven or eight seven-win teams that we're arguing over here late Saturday night. Mm. I feel like Albany at seven wins might not have as good an argument as some of the others around the country. I mean, for instance, you know, Southern Illinois getting seven wins and beating an FBS team by, 35 points, even though right. We all know UMass is not very good, it's still an FBS team. You know, that looks really good. The Citadel beat Georgia Tech. If the Citadel, you know, does anything this weekend, seven wins. So, I mean, it's just, there's so many dynamics, but I think Albany at seven doesn't look as good as a lot of the other arguments around the country.
Well, it's going to be a whole lot of fun to see how it shakes out this weekend. We can't wait for its selection show, of course, coming up on Sunday, but lots of great football starting tonight. So we'll be watching and, of course, following what you guys have to say at Hero Sports. Brian, we thank you as always. And next week when we talk, we'll be thinking playoffs. Can't wait.
All right. That sounds good. Thank you, Rich.
Thank you, Brian McLaughlin, Hero Sports, talking football with us, as always, every Thursday here on Downtown.